Hi, and welcome. I don't know what day it is. What day is it? I was at a Ziff Davis Summit for 3 days. Summit in air quotes. So anyway, hi, welcome to our podcast. It's some day in May. Got a big crowd here again today. A Lollapalooza.
I guess.
Start over.
Could be
fuck
a veritable cornucopia of gaming knowledge.
Yes.
We're
anyway,
recording.
Introduce yourselves. Take the mic away from me.
Ryan Scott.
Anthony Gallegos.
Crispin Boyer.
Sean Elliott.
And Sean Malloy.
Hi, Crispin. I guess you're kind of like the special guest this week.
I am special.
Very special.
He just got done dancing in hobbit feet covered in Snickers and trail mix on top of Donkey Kong bongo drums.
In other words, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, you're so predictable. That shit.
I think I turned my ankle too.
Like clockwork.
Jeff, when we say that he did all of the above.
Yeah.
We really mean he did all of the
above. Did he really do all that?
Yes.
The video that's
I
going
believed
up?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what the point of it was. It was an interpretive dance of, I guess, our collective moods or something. I don't know.
And it's got a review read over the top of it.
So if people want to see this, they can go where?
To our blog.
Oh, to the blog? Podcast blog?
Sean, you know the URL for that, right?
I don't know what day it is. GFWRadioBlog.1UP.com or GFWRadioBlog.1UP.com. Well, yes.
Google it.
One would just be in the
may or may not have a dash. Yes, Google just Google.
Don't use our search engine.
We're so organized.
Look at the front page of 1UP.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. If they go to the GFW page, it should
just click GFW.
Right there.
So this discussion we've had so far is not going to serve well for the first point I wanted to make today, which was that last week when we did that little item about the guys who dug up the body and then made a bong out of a skull.
Right.
So I got a few emails that were like, dude, I didn't know like you smoke pot. And I just want to say, because there's a lot of kids who listen to the show. And, we're role models to some extent that that was a grave misunderstanding. Oh, God, that was horrible. I didn't mean grave. I didn't. I swear I didn't mean that. But, I want you guys all to know that, I don't need that kind of thing, to get high. I mean, I get
you
high.
You don't need a human skull. An apple core or an old Coke can.
Right,
just as well.
I can use my handcrafted Hawaiian wooden bong with the extra carburetor. No, that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say I get high on life and America. I have an American flag that I can just look at in my house if I want to get high. This is for my employers.
Soaring like an eagle.
My family.
Both right.
And all the readers out
both
there.
Ryan and I have never smoked pot.
What do you
or,
mean both you,
got
and,
drunk?
You and Ryan? None of us have.
Or, yeah. Right.
We don't drink, smoke, cuss, or chew.
This
don't
is a family, this is a family podcast. Right. If you know anybody that ever has done those things, you should shun them. Because it's not good for you.
I should say,
them.
Though, for all my meth stories, I've never even tried crystal meth. That's a fact. Well,
you're alone in this room on that one. That one we have done.
Yeah. No, because that's like the,
all
one
the
of
positive
the things
experiences
where,
you've had around it.
It's just beyond peer pressure on that one. I just see what happened to the fools. And I'm like, this
cutting
is
a hole
make
in the
a
floor.
Note for this is a good story here, but it's one I don't want to be a principal character
right.
in.
Do not use this.
There actually are great stories though, when you talk to like ye old timers in the game industry of like people in meetings at EA with like bongs on the table as they were like planning stuff.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh. I'm sure it still happens someplace.
Those were the good old days. Sounds I'm sure it happens.
Sounds like.
I'm sure it was in one of those old album cover style
EA box
covers.
Let's talk about this.
Zach, that's how they made them. What?
Anthony wants to tell us about his weekend job.
I work at a... I don't smoke pot. Never have. But I do work at a medical marijuana dispensary.
Do you?
On the weekends, a lot of times, for extra money that my sister owns.
I've had this cough.
But if you were thinking of the one place
right
where there would be a bong on the planning table while they're working,
it would be
like
there.
The amazing thing that like you work there, you don't smoke, you've never smoked, and these people come in and they're like, I don't know, man, would you recommend like the indica? Would you recommend the?
Well, the funny thing is they'll say the name, so they're like, yo, dog, should I get some like Misty Mountain?
Is that how a sick? Is this,
is
how
this
a
what your job is?
Sounds?
Really? Are you kidding? This is your job. You recommend what like type of like marijuana brownie people should pick up?
I hook them up.
Do you wear a lab coat?
But so I'm envisioning this nice. Terminal patient or this like, you know, half blind glaucoma person. It's like, yo, dog. You know I can't see this shit. Tell me what the good stuff is.
Nah, dude. Come on. I told you there's, like, the terminally ill people that come in, and then, of course, there's, like, the people that went to, like, the doctor. Everyone on, like, the pot forum says, like, this is the guy to go to for the hookup. He'll write you prescription
that
for headaches.
That doesn't happen, does it?
So do you get people coming in that just look like, you know, stoners who just want the hookup, and they don't look remotely sick at all? Just...
Yeah.
Like, is that what most of the day is like, in fact?
Yeah. Have you ever had... What about, like, have you ever had to kick someone out?
I haven't had to kick someone out, but I've had to tell people they can't come in, and that's when they freak out a lot of times. Or they try and, like, well, first they do, like, the thing everyone does. Like, anybody that's worked retail has had that person that comes up, and they're like, hey, man, I need to return this. And you're like, oh, our store policy doesn't allow you to do that. And they all of a sudden go from, like, being, like, friends with you to just being, like...
Hating you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like.
Wait, who's returning things to the medical marijuana?
Oh, they're not returning.
a bag of seeds and twigs. Like, dude, like, when I worked in grocery in produce, like, one time this guy comes in with, like, a big Ziploc bag, and it just had mush in it. It was just, like, a black and brown mush in a bag. And he's like, I need a refund. I was like, what is that? He's like, it was a squash. And I was like, well, did you buy it like that? Did, like, you come in here with, like, a fucking scoop and scrape it off of the refrigeration grate, and then now you want a refund on it? And he was, like, mad because it's supposed to be, you know, he's always right. He's like, where's your manager?
Sounds like used food. It's been processed.
So the takeaway from this conversation is that Ziff Davis has pushed me to selling drugs on the weekend.
How do you get a job like that?
Again, my sister owns it.
Oh, so. Okay. Now, could she or you, this is a serious question, like be busted? I mean, is this all, like, I'm not up on what the current law is.
She could be busted by federal agents.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then I would just lose my job. But only federal agents, no state police can do anything. So, yeah.
It's up on the law.
So did you just sell her up the river here?
Yeah.
Well, all the federal agents listening to
the podcast.
She has a
Wait a minute, Joe.
She has a California
going
state
California.
Business license. She's legit.
Run Gallegos through the computer.
They pay taxes and all that business. So
yeah,
the government's getting their cut.
Yeah.
All right. So on to something other than
what up, Ryan?
Yeah.
Huh?
How are you, Ryan?
What's up with Lost?
I'm all right.
What's up with Lost, Ryan?
Are we going to do the Lost spoilers early in the show? Just to mix
Crispin,
things up.
Did you watch the show?
Oh, yeah, I watched Lost.
Ryan's our resident expert.
I know.
Do you have any questions for Ryan?
Ask Ryan.
Who's in the coffin?
Oh, I have a theory about that.
He does. Okay.
It's different than
Crispin
the last
totally
theory?
Didn't know I had a theory about this before he asked. That was okay. Coincidence.
So there have been a few cranky messages.
That's a Lost-like coincidence.
About our Lost spoilers.
So wait, so I've decided.
But this is a theory. It's not.
Right. Hold on, so just ahead of time, know that this is only theory. It's coming right out of Ryan's brain, which is not reliable. So if he says this stuff now, don't be mad, because it's not something that's actually going to happen on the show, because his theories are always crackpot.
This is totally going to happen. Okay. No, wait till you hear this. Okay.
Okay.
So you know, as we know, Jack attended a mystery person's funeral in his flash forward at the end of season 3.
Yes, we right.
all
No
one
all
knows
know
who's in the coffin.
Right.
So,
not
you know,
even the writers.
I read my share of...
Is this a Time Life book series? From the 80s?
I've read my share of crazy internet theories that make no sense.
So here's another one.
So I decided I was going to make up my own crazy internet theory.
Awesome.
Cool.
Okay, so I'm gonna say that Jack is in the coffin. There you go.
Jack was at his own funeral?
What?
Jack was in the coffin.
Whoa.
I'm going to the internet with this
one. Dude, you're... Wow.
This is the problem with this show. Like, after having watched
That's
the
plausible,
last two
actually.
Episodes,
yeah. Actually, I know. I'm not disputing you. That could be.
Like, in addition to running with the whole, like, introduce three more questions every time you answer a single question thing, it's now gotten so beyond the point of anyone. It reminds me of a Jeff Loeb comic. He wrote, like, Batman, The Long Halloween, and Batman.
Isn't he a
Hush.
Writer on the show?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he is. It's probably
director,
that's not a good sign at all, because this guy writes these books where they're mystery stories, and the whole thing is that, you know, you start off, you're like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to every detail and see if I can sleuth my way through this. But of course, you never can, because no one could have. They like introduced, it's like, oh, none of the evidence had to do with any, you know, the real culprit had, you know, nothing to do with any of the story up until this final issue of the thing. And I mean, it's reminding
just
me of
all
that.
Red
it's
like, herrings.
It's like, yeah. So I've gotten to the point where I've just given up on theories. I don't think any more Lost theories.
I kind of have too.
My
I mean,
brain.
long time ago.
Actually, I don't think it makes sense it would be Jack, because Jack was like, there was a newspaper article that was what he how we found out about it.
It was alternate timeline, Jack.
Yeah, but...
Well, they could just do it, and then everyone will be like, whoa, and then the writers will figure out what to do next season. So they have, like, all this off time to figure it out.
You think that's what we're going to see at the end of this season?
I don't
Jack,
know. I'm just
like, looking down at his own body in his coffin?
I'm just making this
That would
up.
Have been a weird reaction for Kate. Like, why would you go to your own funeral? I mean, she was so, like, blasé about it.
To me, it makes sense if it's Michael, because Michael's the one who, like, can't die, right? Like, he tried to kill himself. They tried to kill him. But it's like, now he's, like, in this last episode, he's going to fulfill whatever the his bargain. He's going to, like, save the Oceanic Six.
And that's why I don't think it's Michael.
The island is going to let him die now.
The reason I don't think it's Michael is because of what Sean said. Like, the clues are too obvious for it to be Michael. Like, they've laid the trail that it's Michael, so that means they have something completely that has nothing to do with that.
I think that Ryan is probably Anthony's biggest customer.
Honestly, this show, I thought the show was just about people, like, surviving on an island, spearing crabs and shit. I've never seen it.
No,
I had no idea.
It was like
you guys start saying Twilight Zone.
Exactly. And, you guys start saying alternate timelines
when
and stuff
I said,
like that.
I said the Time Life books, that was like, it's probably a little too old for you. But, well, I mean, it's like early 80s, right?
Tell us, Grandpa, about Time Life.
That was before that.
It's
dude.
In Christmas. Crispin and Jeff and Sean, you knew me.
I know. About
70s,
but it was, like, books about the occult and shit. And they had these ads.
Mysteries of
like,
the Unexplained.
Yeah. Three men enter a shrouded ring of trees. One is mystically levitated 3 feet above above the bog surface. Like coincidence or like supernatural? It's in the book. And then they'd have another one like Barney Pokeep sat on a tech in like whatever in Arkansas, and 300 miles away his identical twin brother felt a stabbing pain in his rectum. Coincidence.
That's like Ripley's
it's in the
Believe
book,
It or Not
right.
stuff.
You
look
but that's
it up
like lost shit.
Mm-hmm. You look it up in the book though, and it's like coincidence. Yes, and that's it.
Fooled you.
Yep.
Total coincidence.
Now go buy our Wild West books.
There's like a, there's like a definition of Occam's razor, and then like all through the book, it's like work it out yourself.
We just made the commercial. We didn't know people would buy the books.
It's going to start raining frogs.
So to throw in some game stuff before we get too far along. Age of Conan came out yesterday.
Oh, did it just launch yesterday?
In the U.S., some people were playing it before that because they paid.
Oh, there was like a pre
$5
right, to get a head start.
Yes. And they made good use of that because, you know, I'm in a PvP server and there are already quite a few relatively high level players in there to gank us and for us to team up on and feel like we're pulling a David and Goliath maneuver.
How are you feeling about the game so far? As a non-MMO
first,
guy.
It seems like it's... I don't know, but there are a number of servers. All of them are populated. Many of them are heavily populated. I had to wait in order to create an account on Tyranny, which is a PvP server.
Free-for-all PvP.
Yeah, free-for-all PvP. And then when you get in, there's just a ton of stuff going on. And I only played until like I got like level 7 or so. And what pissed me off immediately, here I go, already into the bad stuff, is that... We figured out that, you know, we were going around and we were trying to do, you know, the quests, multiplayer quests, and it just wasn't working. Like, all the enemies were, like, level 10 to 15, and even as a group, we just couldn't kill them effectively without dying ourselves over and over again. And so Rory and Duncan and other people on our Ventrilo server who had played both the beta and had the early access were like, you got to just do the night missions. And in this game, they separate single from multiplayer as day being multiplayer and night being instant solo missions.
Right.
And that was the last thing I was willing to do. It was like the game is like marginally interesting as a multiplayer game. And it's like entirely for me based on the social experience. And for me to go and play that on my own time, like no thanks. So I turned it off. I had a review game to play as well.
Well, can you level up in the multiplayer, right?
That's what he's saying is you currently can't.
You can't? Or can you?
You probably could
slower.
Brute force it, but it's very difficult to the point that like we're doing like these beginning missions that you're acquiring as a level, you know, at level 5 or 6 it is you get out of the training mode, you know.
Right.
And you can pick up some quests, and those ones were just like prohibitively difficult. Mm. And then we didn't necessarily help ourselves because in this PvP free-for-all server, you go to White Sands, is one of these first, you know, areas, and everyone there, that's like free-for-all.
When you say free-for-all, do you mean that there's no, like, factions?
Yeah, your own race can attack your own
Holy
race.
Holy crap. Okay.
So what that means is as soon as you appear, anytime you see someone, you make eye contact, they fight you. They start, they're attacking you.
Hey, it's barbarians. And
this will, I hear that this is fairly normal for any free-for-all PvP game in the early months following release. And what happens is things settle down, and then you have coalitions and alliances, and that's going to be interesting. But right now, it's like fucking like betas, you know, fighting fish or something, and you throw us all in the tank, and it's just like you look at the stats, see if it's a fight you want, and but there's always going to be someone that's in there stronger than you attacking you. But it was kind of fun even in that stage because we got like, I'm an assassin, so I can cloak and do these, you know, backstab attacks for critical damage, and Rory gave me this buff that like made it even, you know, more powerful, so we'd wait and watch these guys. We'd go invisible. As soon as you spawn in this thing, you cloak. Because that's how quick you're going to die if you don't.
Are there, like, known spawn points?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
So are people waiting at those?
Yeah, and the thing is that we're trying to level, not because I care about the quests. I think they're the same as ever. They're boring, and they're just, I mean, and a lot of people differ. This is, you know, this is what I wanted to bring down in preparation. Julian Murdoch's been playing a lot, and he wrote a story on Gamers with Jobs, and it's about how much he loves the combat and stuff. And it's like I wanted to present that as an informed counterpoint to my own perspective because I think he makes a perfect case for himself. But so let me go back a minute and finish that story. So, you know, we'd cloak and then we'd go and hide in the bushes. We'd wait for a high-level player to get in a combat, you know, scenario with a mob. And then it's like, okay, then I sneak up and stab him in the back because he's fighting like a whole bunch of like crocodiles. And then everyone else, it's like blowing the conch or something in Lord of the Rings. And then, I mean, Lord of the Flies. And then everyone comes running out of the bushes and we all like beat on him. And even though we're all weak, there's enough of us where we can like overtake him, you know. And then we kill him and he'll just spawn again and come right back for us, but it's like we felt good about it and we cloaked again. And, but the idea is that we wanted to level up so we can go to these points like islands where people have to get to, where there's pinch points or bridges over lava. And then we become toll keepers and we demand, like we want to collect loincloth. So it's like, you can pass this bridge if you give me your loincloth. And like that's all beginning players have in the game. And so, but unfortunately you can't drop loot in, you can get rid of items that you own, but you can't have them appear in the world because otherwise we could just build a giant like stack of loincloths at the side of the bridge and people would know.
Right. It probably is destroyed, right, as soon as they drop it.
Right. And that's to prevent people from doing, you know, like the whole raining dildos thing in Second Life, you know, just putting too many physical objects in the server. Mm-hmm.
I just like the way, just thinking about all the legendary characters and, you know, that are in Conan and just how he's like this super badass. And then you play the game and it's like, oh, I got killed. I was fighting a crocodile and a bunch of people would jump and stab me in the back or had to give some guy my loincloth. It's like, doesn't in no way lives up to the fiction.
Right. Robert E. Howard would
killed
be like,
by
what?
A plant.
What's going on here? What happened to my world?
Yeah. I have a chick character. And she's like, it looks like a messed up Fraggle or something. I like did everything I could to make it messed up. She's got a shiner, really crazy crooked nose, and a butch haircut. But I have like a cap on that looks like a, like she's wearing the reservoir tip of a condom for a hat. And I don't know. It's pretty sad. But everyone already, soon as I came in, people are like running up and like laughing at me and stuff.
That's the thing. That's a, like part of the way you can tell instantly that I knew you weren't in it for the long haul. Like, the rest of us made characters that were like, man, my guy looks badass or whatever. And you were just like,
my guy looks like a condom.
What's your character's name? Obesia, probably, or something like that. Yeah.
I couldn't make her that morbidly obese. She's pretty muscular. Like, it still turns me on. Like, you can climb in this game, and, like, I'll take a look, you know. Like, I'll move the camera beneath her when I'm climbing. Just playing.
I don't know. You said it out loud. It kind of means you thought
I'm serious.
It's that nighttime solo game that's prohibiting you from playing more. That's preventing me kind of from playing again because I made a beta character and went through all of that already. And the thought of doing it again, and it's so long.
Yeah, here's what I'm wondering about this game, and I just don't know the answer, is that if you do create alts now, once you've made it through that first level, that first 20 levels of the single-player stuff, do you have to do it again every time you create a new character?
Right now,
In the same zone?
Well, every
there's
time,
not even another place?
As far as I know, every new character you create, you have to like you have to go through the beginning game quest every time.
Right.
Which is like you start on a boat and the boat wrecks.
And does it matter? I guess like what character?
I guess
like
it's
race
slightly.
You are? Is it all the same?
I think it's slightly. I heard it's slightly different for healers versus like mages. There's a couple different tweaks to the quest line, but I don't know how.
But
major
you're still
they are.
Everybody. No matter what your alt is, it's going to be in the same city with the
same
basic
chain of night quests until you can get strong enough to go do these day quests that were.
That is going to get old.
Yeah.
Because
it's prohibitive to alt making. That's for sure.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you can't even get through it the first time.
Still, the I mean, this game makes like the speed of leveling up in WoW look like super slow. Like seriously, like within. Yeah. By the time you reach the first city, you're already like level 6 or something like
right,
that.
Right, that's as far as I got.
But I don't think
six
maintains
and WoW
that
is,
pace,
is fast.
I don't know. I mean, Duncan and Rory were like staying up till they hit level 40 last night, and they've only been playing for like three
they
days.
They did?
Yeah. Oh my God. They said they weren't going to bed till they hit 40.
Fast.
Those fuckers, man. That's sad.
Because, they were already like level 28 or something like that.
No sleep until 40.
And that's exactly... like, Duncan basically asked Rory, if they were going
to
commit to it. He's like, I'm ready. Are you? All right.
Yeah. Think of the emptiness the moment after.
Maybe last night was my last game.
They're like, oh, yeah.
Well, hey, you know, Rory's got an excuse. He's reviewing it, so.
Yeah, he has a review.
That's commitment.
It's that old problem, though. You know, like, they'll all be ahead of me now, and it's, like, a good because they will, like, if I go back now, they'll be able to help me get through, you know, the stuff that was too hard for us last night, the levels we were. But at the same time, it's like I just get to be the one who hangs around in the back, and I guess it frees me up to type. I can talk just shit on people as we do.
You can just be a pet.
I don't know. Like, there are definitely good things about it. Like, I think the special ability, like, powers that you use in that are definitely, like, not... I mean, they look like WoW in that, like, you push 7 to, like, do your character special ability. But did you see it, like, how you have to, like...
What do you have that's different than... My character sure didn't have anything different than WoW. But I'm
Well, the
14.
Thing is that not only do you have to push, like, the button... to like to initiate the power, right? Just like, wow, okay, I do like a hard slash.
Yep.
But then once you do it, in order for it to actually occur, you have to do a specific combination.
Oh, the
attack
combo
moves.
Attacks, right.
Yeah, I thought that
my,
was...
Yeah, my class didn't have any of those.
Mine did. So I thought that
so
was
I
like,
picked a boring class.
I thought that was like super cool that I didn't just have to push a button. I actually had to
push.
Like,
instead of 3, it's 3-1-4.
I know.
3-1-4.
That's
three,
good gaming.
Step backwards.
Your ATM
this,
pin.
What this game needs is the Wii remote.
The thing is like so to go back to Julian and me, the way we differ is that okay, of course, you know, you have the 1, 2, and 3, and that's the attack from the left, the right, or head on. And they'll have it so that it loosely correlates. Like if you're fighting a panther, head on will be basically its teeth. So it's like it's discouraging you from doing that. You're gonna want to attack one of its flanks. But the difference is you're just pressing 1 or 3 instead of 2. Sometimes they will change and it will sync up and it like, okay, this makes sense. This guy's holding a shield on his right side. I don't want to hit him over there. Or if he turns, then it will adjust as well.
That's cool.
But when I'm playing, because I mean, we're not taught, let's not be confused and think we're talking about, you know, Ninja Gaiden or, you know, Devil May Cry or something where the, when you hit someone, the animations sync up and they are very clearly getting hit specifically by the move you just performed and vice versa, or like a fighting game, you know, it's like, it has to me the feel of when kids play guns, you know, you just, what do you call it? Just call it guns. And it's like, you're dead. No, you're dead. No, you're dead. And there's like, there's a total mismatch between the pantomimes that are going on. And so it's like,
right.
I get that and I can't immerse myself. But for Julian, he was saying that as you go on for him, you know, being able to dodge because there's evasive maneuvers and stuff and combining that with his group tactics. So like if he'll go in, do an attack and double tap back to jump out of the fray and then someone else will come in and then he'll hop back in and do something for him. He's getting, I mean, I hope I'm not misrepresenting his, you know, his perspective, but it seems like he thinks that as far as MMO comic goes, it's just really fantastic stuff. I haven't got to the point where I'm seeing it as anything more than like what Sean said, like when you described it, it's like, okay, so I pressed two more.
Well, the thing is like, I could see it being like in PvP and WoW. I definitely think that takes a lot of skill, but like, this I could see even making it like more gratifying when I managed to pull off my special abilities because you have to stay close enough to him to pull off those additional attacks to make your power go, you know. And like you said, if everyone's doing like those dodges, like I could see like high skill PvP being like super gratifying, especially in groups.
It can look though, like my fear is like if you have like an improv group and everyone, you give them a theme and they're all supposed to be acting out, but it's clear like not just one of the kids is doing his own thing, but all the kids are doing their own thing.
My issue is I can't in my head make that much of a difference between, you know, starting a combo and then finishing it up with like the two things it tells you to do, and like using, you know, a warlock's powers to put a curse of shadows on to first drop his, you know, shadow resistance, then putting a dot, and then, you know, doing your shadow weaving with your priest.
Right.
There's still this certain order of things that has to occur to get your maximum damage output, and to me it's just not that different.
We're talking about the Time Life book series again. Shadow weaving.
Shadow weaving.
There's a
I need to stack five Shadow Weed. Yeah.
There's a few like weird little things that trouble me about that game. Mm-hmm. Like,
there. And those are.
Let me just clear my throat. There's no log out button. There's just like exit game. You can't like log out to the character select screen.
Really?
Yeah. Which, you know, you might think, well, that's dumb.
Even
that's
like if you're in a city or something like that? I don't know. I guess,
if you hit escape, there's no option to just log out.
Huh.
It's just an exit game.
It doesn't really make that big of a difference, but it's like, this is like this one of these little basic things that, like, why doesn't this game have this?
On the Ryan Scott review scale of hell yeah and what the hell, it nudges it ever closer to the what the hell.
Sort of.
Right now, is it a hell yeah or what the hell? Or is it right in the middle?
It's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't picture you playing it.
Why the hell not?
And you only get eight character slots.
Why the hell not?
Period.
Yeah, that's rent.
Oh, for all servers?
Eight character slots, period.
Whoa. All servers?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's not like eight for
maybe
servers,
they're doing you a favor so you don't have to like do those first fucking 20 levels
So, because I noticed that you pick your character and then you click on like a server or something like that, like that you can see them both. But I can't make my character go on any server, though, right?
No, your character is handcuffed to the server you make him on.
Well, that's the same on any.
But I'm just saying the fact that I can only have eight.
Strange that you only have eight character slots total.
Who would have more, though?
I know. I can't imagine.
Insane.
There are people in my WoW guild that have way more than that. But
I know lots of people
complaining that it's like complaining you only have to grind for 600 hours when you... Like,
yeah, I just know people that had friends on a lot of different servers. So they had, like, a character on a bunch of different servers, way more than eight. So
I don't have that many friends.
People like to just, like, try new ones out.
But eight is not enough.
Yeah.
And we're saying, like, the investment to get any character to the point where you have, a clean sense of how they function.
Yeah, but at that point, even if you hate them, you don't want to delete them because you put all that time into it.
Yeah, you might
sell it.
They might change it. There's always that, like, vague, what if they make this character awesome in a patch coming up? So then I want to hold on to them. It's weird, eight, it's weird because there's more than eight classes, so you can't even theoretically on one account try everything, unless you delete them.
Brian, are you going to join our... Oh, you are going to join our thing, and because Rory and them, I was like, what's up with this stuff? And they're like, they're reserving some clan name for you?
Yeah, our usual guild name. Okay. I wanted to get it reserved.
And then...
Oh, so they started a guild, basically, for you?
They are saving the name for me, yeah.
What is that name?
The Kindred.
Are you like the king of the Kindred?
I am not. No. I'm not. It's been the guild that I've been in ever since UO. We always, every game me and my buddy go to, we'll make the guild, you know.
They were bummed because they wanted their name was Peen Orange.
Well, no, they
can. And Peen Orange is the name of, like, there's that
I bet that
photo
one's not taken when
on
they wanted
the internet
back.
Of, of an apparent, like, freak with a real doll, and he's wearing all orange, and that Peen Orange is just the color.
They can start their own.
You'll save that one for him.
Oh, you just reminded me of the LOL news story of the week. The guy with the gamer tag. Who got banned.
What was his name again?
His name was...
something Gaywood.
Dick Gaywood. And he got a notice from Xbox Live from Microsoft that his name was banned because it was offensive. That was his gamer tag. But that was his real name. Was Richard Gaywood. And so Kotaku reported on the story. It's the epilogue is sort of what made me laugh more was, I mean, that story's sort of funny in a seventh grade way, but what was great was in the comments to the Kotaku story, people were just like, there's no way this guy guy's name was Richard Gaywood. Come on. It's just not possible. Well, the Richard Gaywood showed up on the thread. Because he was actually the one who gave Kotaku the news story in the first place. Mm-hmm. So he showed up in this thread, and then he posted like a photo of his driver's license, you know, showing that he's Richard Gaywood. I mean, he blocked out his image and his address, obviously. And it just turned into a really funny conversation. If you go there, people are just like, dude, what's up with your parents calling you Richard? You know, why'd they name you that? Last name of Gaywood. He's like, yeah, I guess they kind of hated me. So anyway, it's just a funny thread.
But it's like, why would you make, you know, that's the guy's name, whatever. But it's like, I could see Microsoft going like, whoa, what's this? I mean, you use that for your gamer tag. I don't, like,
this,
I could see them
this happens
thinking,
in WoW, too, because, I mean, we've had.
Because people do all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, but is that like
character names?
Not permissible, though?
It's weird to have your gamer tag be your whole full name, though.
Well, that's weird. I mean,
which is why I could see them going
when
like,
your name is that.
Let's change
He's embracing his name.
That seems like something they should have investigated before just banning.
Right.
Like, okay, is that really your name?
I don't know.
Why don't
probably,
we check your credit card?
It's probably like an it's exactly an automated program that's just true. Like, oh, you have the word gay, wood, in one thing, like too close.
Right. Right. Like, you can't, it is really weird. Like, you can't even have fart in, like, it gets censored out of chat company heroes.
All I can think about ever since I read that story is just being him on, like, the first day of class every year in school and the teacher reading the names on the roster, you know, the first day. Gaywood, Richard. And having every fucking kid in class
slowly
laugh.
Puts his hand up.
I remember
just,
seeing
maybe it just name. Meant happy when he was a youth.
I remember seeing a credit card in
right.
a grocery store where the guy's last name was Nano Mantube. I think it was like Indian or something, but yeah.
Well, of course, then on the thread, everybody went up there with, yeah, well, when I was a kid, I knew a kid named, and one of them was like Dick Holder. No, last name Holder.
No.
So everybody had another story like that.
Yeah. Well, then there's
and
like
they're all made up.
Harry McCracken, right? Is right, I mean, that's a real name. For,
right, that's a real
well,
name.
Well, there was a girl at my school.
Like,
I
no
told
offense
you.
To, I mean, but it's one of those names that, like, if you, maybe someone's censor, you know, automated censorship program will not
well,
like that.
You know, our mm-hmm. friend Dana Jungaward, she claims, and I don't believe her to this day, that there was a girl at her school growing up with the first name Fonda, like Jane Fonda, and the last name D-I-X, Dix, Fonda Dix. And I just, I don't believe it.
That's a stretch.
What parent would name their daughter that?
Dude, there was a girl.
Have you meet my daughter? She's fond of dicks. Well, I'm pleased to meet her. What a coincidence.
I have one.
I had a customer at Sam Goody when I worked there who named her son Gandalf.
Really?
That should be
well, there's
great.
A former EGM staffer who named his son Anakin.
Nice.
Really?
And this is before...
tell us who.
His name was John Gurka.
Okay. I don't know.
But this was before episode one came out. And universally derided. So I don't know if
that's got to be painful now.
A name change.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe a name change.
There was a very, very large girl at my high school named... Her first name was Princess. Literally. And her last name was Thickening. Princess,
Thickening.
I am dead serious. I will bring my fucking yearbook and show you a photo of
Princess
Thickening.
Thickening?
Yes.
God.
Could contend with
that's got to be Sean's new name, character name, Princess Thickening. That could replace Obesia.
That's not the same. Her name would have had to have been Obesia. Tremendo.
On a side note that I wanted to actually ask, like, to Ryan, like, as far as, like, Conan goes, does it at all bother you how, like, noob-friendly Conan is? That actually bothers me to a certain extent. How there's, like, zero penalty for dying.
I only
spawn with all your equipment.
I'm still in the newbie area.
Oh,
there's zero stops at level 10, though.
Wait, and after level 10, is there still no penalty?
As far as I know,
I heard there's a penalty after 10.
Oh, is
there?
That's
penalty,
what Rory
yeah.
and Duncan
oh,
you leave
okay,
a little
good.
Tombstone marker where you died, so and then you get a debuff that, like, lowers your damage
okay,
and stamina
good,
and stuff
until
you
say,
go
I was
find
like,
your tombstone marker. And you can actually drop like 10 tombstone
markers. You
didn't
even
markers.
Have to do a corpse run or anything. And I was like, wow, I don't know. I just, to some extent, I kind of miss the days of EverQuest when I could be overburdened or like take ridiculous fall damage or not have a map to tell me how to get places. I gotta
be. You would never, though. You
well,
would,
have fun with all would, that.
The way that things are, yeah, you would
I'm
never
glad
get
those
anywhere.
Days are over.
You'd be killed, and you'd be killed on your way to your corpse run, and you'd be killed, and there would be like until you had like an ant trail of corpses.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, because you had to pick up
totally.
Your equipment.
I mean,
off your corpses.
We said this before. I do miss the fear of the unknown that kind of came with EverQuest
uh-huh.
because
yep.
you just had no clue what was over there, and you could feasibly lose everything you had. So there's
yes, you could.
Have that.
It but was. It would be a very tense.
I think the alternative
experience.
Today's alternative is much better.
Yeah,
it still exists to an extent where like what Rory and Duncan are already doing. Where they're going into some, you know, an area where they know most people have some quest, and then they wait at a certain point in it after the people felt like they've accomplished a considerable amount, and then they jump on them.
Can I know. I think that's
probably,
the part that I'm looking forward to.
That's probably common across WoW servers. I mean, that's how I got ganked so often in WoW on PvP services while I was in the middle of a quest. And these fucking jerks would come up while I was too busy fighting other things, and my health was down by like 2/3, and then they'd kill
anyway,
me. Yeah. Oh, great, thanks.
Part of
that's
that is
awesome.
Part of that is design, though. I mean, Blizzard definitely did design some quests so that they would overlap and force you guys to fight.
Oh, sure,
the
cross-tested territories. Yeah.
That's cool, though. That's like the only interesting thing about these.
The advantage Conan has is you can talk to the people you're fighting.
Oh wow,
that's true.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, you can't.
But you can't.
All you
but
can
you
do
have
is
to type
on them.
Though.
But still, well, I mean, yeah. And
but yeah, well, when you're
and dude, wow, you can't even type.
The battle's decided in like 30 seconds in most of
well,
these cases.
Well, but wow, you can never stop type. And type. You can't send them a tell. Or
I know, but listen, let me finish.
Yeah, but Sean,
thought, dude, it doesn't. So, like, even if you can talk, if you lose the battle, if you go to type, you will lose unless you have a disparity between your levels, like about 10 or more. Because even when we went up against his level sixes and we're in battles with like 18s, we would be able to kill them as a group within 30 seconds.
But then after you could type, haha, I pwned you.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's more, what that's for.
But then he's already...
you could clown
it's
on.
It's already pwned.
The typing is good, I think, for prior to the battle when you can establish terms. Like,
the loincloth.
What would be great is if it was like Xbox Live and you could like talk to them, you know,
right.
Like over speakers. Fuck you, jerk!
Yeah, in World of Warcraft, you couldn't do your loincloth thing because the Horde couldn't talk
you
to the Alliance.
You can't communicate, right.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe you could, but they would have no idea what you're saying, and then you'd kill them.
And just like, that's right. You keep looking down and walk on by. Like, that kind of, like, I want to see that kind of random shit emerge, you know?
Yesterday, when we were all playing Age of Conan, we did have a moment where we all laughed at Sean in, like, a make-fun-of-him sort of way, but in the end, we were only really making fun of ourselves because like...
Well, after I logged off?
No, because when Sean went to, like, hit escape, he was like, how come it didn't pause the game? And we were like... And Duncan, like, just went, it's an MMO, Sean. And Sean was like, but I'm in an instance. And, like, I just remember everyone laughed, like, ha, ha, ha. He doesn't know that it doesn't pause an instance. And then I was like...
But it wasn't just an instance. Like, it was a single-player instance.
But that's what I'm saying. But at the same time, like, even though we were like, ha, ha, what an idiot, we were like, wait, but we're making fun of you for that.
I know.
Therefore making fun of ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the irony of Age of Conan.
We all learned something.
Did you really, though?
How excited are you to play the game now?
I could come over and see Obesia. Sounds pretty hot.
Have you ever played an MMO?
I played Ultima Online a long time ago, just for a little while with a friend of mine, because he lived like back in Florida, and we were just walking around this world, and we came into this house, and it was filled wall to wall with dudes, and it was weird. They were all like, it was some kind of. I don't know what was going on. If someone was like storing characters, I had no idea. It was all a new world to me. But they were all like doing their walk animation in place in this house, and we were just like, "What the hell's going on?"
Did you set it on fire?
Did you ever figure out what was going on?
No.
It's people macro.
It scared me. Yeah, it scared me away from MMOs for life. But I do remember I liked in that game. If you took your shoes off and walked away, it looked like you took a dump. So I enjoyed that too.
They updated the graphics.
That was your trademark.
I'm sure that was
in there. He takes off his shoes and walks away.
I'm sure that was in Richard Garriott's design document.
Now what we got to do here is take off their shoes.
I didn't know he was such a hayseed.
He is in my imitation of him. Yeah.
He's like an astronaut.
Well, he thinks. So, Ryan, did you have other points about what you're not liking?
Because I think all
you mentioned was the pause or the log off screen.
There's that. What? There was the 8 character slots.
Oh, right.
What else was I going to say?
What do you like?
The melee combat seems more engaging than your typical.
Okay,
MMO.
So pros, melee combat.
Yeah.
Final score?
I really did feel I made a mistake making such a caster type. In this game, like I normally, that's what I flock to all the time. But after
they're in high demand in the PvP servers,
I bet they are because
water
comparatively boring.
Water is the means of escape for like you know in most times when someone's Whoa. Ganging up on you, and it's if heavy. They're largely melee, you jump in the water and they can't do anything.
Oh,
but
they have a swim speed buff or something.
You just tread in water and they can't do shit.
You just go out and wait
really?
In the water. So there's always a bunch of people hanging out in the water.
Hey,
it's like a public pool.
But if you have range,
I think I'll stay in a while.
If you have range, then you can just like
people
keep
pacing angrily
them.
On the shore.
And they have to go out deeper and dive under.
Okay.
So it's great. Like, if you could be the one that finishes, like, when you see everyone running for the beach, it's like inverse Jaws, you know? You see everyone running for the beach, you can just sit there and hit them in the ass with your fireballs and stuff and hopefully kill them.
But aren't there beasts in the water that'll eat you?
No. In fact, the crocodiles won't chase you in the water.
It's they won't?
In the magical world of Conan, yeah.
The maybe crocodiles. That's in the lore.
Yeah. I mean, is there alligators? Is that what that means? I don't know.
I don't know.
So it also seems like the launch isn't going so smooth.
It's not going so smooth.
They should do some show and tell.
They do sort of the Ultima Online thing with their downtime. Like you'll see in like the server status forum.
Yeah.
They're like, the servers are going to be down for 5 hours. And then 5 hours later, it's like, we need another hour. And then we need another hour. And then we need another hour.
Early days.
But
give them, like, it hasn't even been a week. I'd say, you know, at least a few day grace period for them to iron the kinks out. And then we can start ragging on them for that.
People have been making MMOs for 10 years. They shouldn't have.
In theory, it should be perfect. They never are. WoW certainly was not. WoW was a mess.
Well, I mean, not like seven hours at a time, sort of.
It's down today. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is down today?
Mm-hmm. Right. Are they planning to, like, comp you any time for that? Usually that's what the end result is. Like,
that's what the smart companies will comp.
Blizzard's the only company I've ever seen do that.
Really?
Before we...
In the MMOs I've played.
Huh.
Before we move on to Crispin's show and tell item,
yes.
So say like
I'm
we'll
excited.
Have to wait till next week. I actually have been playing a lot of other games. I know Sean saw some too, but they're all like embargo things. So it's like Dawn of War 2. We'll be able to talk about next week. Stalker Clear Sky, which looked really really cool. Same there. Been playing Battlefield Bad Company.
Can you say whether Dawn of War 2 looked cool or not? Is that
I'm sure I can. Yeah, it looked really cool to me. I'm now very excited for it. But and with that out of the way, Crispin has got trying to get people to
what's
anticipate
our show and tell
for
music.
I didn't know about this segment.
What did you bring?
I just brought it. Well, at EGM, we recently moved to a different part of the office. We had to clean out a lot of cabinets. And there's been like a long history, I think, especially between Sean and I, making fun of peripherals that actually add more work than what they're supposed to do. Like, and they all seem to revolve around the Game Boy family of portables. There was like that thing that you could hook it up and put 3 cartridges in, but it was like the size of 20 cartridges.
The cartridge changer.
Yeah, the cartridge changer. And then there was something called the Game Chamber, which you could use to hold your DS games, and DS games are about the size of your thumbnail. And this thing was about as big as a tape measure. It was huge.
It's like, or like if you get like a catering thing of like shrimp cocktail, you know, with the cocktail sauce in the middle and the shrimps all around it.
Mm-hmm.
This is about as big as, you know, maybe...
It's about as big as a sombrero. It held 6 DS games. And you can only put it, you can only take out one if you put in one, if you put one in. So if you lost a game, you had like 5 games locked forever in the Game Chamber. And I guess you send it back to them and they would extract the games from your
Are
game
you serious?
Chamber. I'm serious.
This is real.
So this thing would only work if you had 6 DS games?
Yeah.
You had 7?
You have to buy another Game Chamber.
My God. Then you'd have to buy 6 more games after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 5 more games.
It's like Xbox
Live. Oh, my
Live,
God.
Live points. Like Microsoft money or whatever. When you're trying to buy a downloadable game.
Like, no, I have 20 left.
It came with little plastic things that were the size of DS games that you could put
in
to make up for the empty slots.
I see.
But if you lost any of those, you were fucked.
Wow.
So I found this thing looking through. It's called... It's got really nice packaging. It's called the pack, the battery pack.
But it's PAK, so it's something special. And that's trademarked.
It is trademarked.
Yeah. Note that it also has the innovation seal of quality, which is a seal balancing a
clip art seal.
And it's made by...
It's
bestowed by the company.
It's made it. Yeah, by the company.
We have bestowed the seal upon it.
This looks like it could have been anything in the Dollar General, like a box of Nag Champa incense or anything. Soap.
Okay, so what
so
is it?
So it's a battery pack for the original Game Boy. This is like the one that came out in 89.
Thing.
So the original Game Boy took like, what, 4 AAAs? How much do you think a AAA weighs? That's, I don't know. It's like a few ounces.
Right.
This thing, it probably is almost a pound of plastic that you set your Game Boy in.
Oh, my God.
And
and it extends it by a good 4 inches.
How long does it extend the battery life?
Well, it's rechargeable. I think it probably lasts about an hour, but it's rechargeable. So you could
over 500 times too.
Yeah, and we haven't used it once, so we're still at the beginning of this thing's life.
Oh wow! For the original Game Boy.
For the original that Game Boy,
huge.
Right? And it doesn't do anything else. It just is a giant battery that hooks to your Game Boy. You know, there was a lot of other crap for the Game Boy that would add, like, fold-out speakers and
magnifying glasses. Hang over the front. That was the best.
You know, I saw a guy just a couple weeks ago. I was at a park in the East Bay, and he had to go through, like, an entrance. It was like a pay, you know, park, regional park. And the guy at the booth was playing an original Game Boy. So maybe he would actually like the pack.
Was he homeless? Oh.
No, he was like the guy manning the booth. He was like some kid who's like summer job or whatever. Or not summer,
he was
whatever,
playing
job.
Like the Game Boy, the black and white one.
The old, that the looked old like first generation Game Boy. And I said he had no sense of humor, too, because I like walked in and I go like, ha, that's awesome. And he just looked at me like, what? Like, what's your fucking problem? Like, come that's an object of ridicule, dude.
We got in the video that we're putting up for the podcast blog, it starts off with the shot of this postcard from, where is that, Chris? Preston?
Patterson, California.
Patterson, California. And the beautiful thing is that Michael Donahoe was at some gas station in a town called Patterson. And all the town was, it was like
a way station.
Yeah, like one of those many on, you know, Interstate 5 in Central California where they have a jack-in-the-box, like a BP gas station and maybe like a Best Western. And right. That's really it. Mm-hmm. So the postcard, it had cells and it was, you know, it was broken up into pictures of the town and the panorama. But it like had the same jack-in-the-box twice because there were so few things to show. Wait, except an empty field and the jack-in-the-box.
I've been to Patterson. It's on 5?
Was it a joke? Like, were they making...
No, it was not a joke.
Well, you got to think it was, but when Michael bought them, he bought two of them, and he was, like, all happy and pleased. He thought it was so awesome, and he said the clerk was not amused.
Oh,
like,
really?
It's like, that's his town, man. It's you don't town. Make fun of my town. And it had a big misspelling on the back, too. It said it was the, artichoke capital of the world, but world was spelled W-R-O-L-D.
Rawled.
Maybe it was all a joke.
You could, well, that, you know, that was the connection, is that the fact that, like, when he described it to me, he was probably already in the point when he was embellishing his story, getting more mileage out of it in the retelling, and it was like that he went up to the counter and was laughing, and he put the card up to the guy, and the guy was just like, that's what he was not amused about. So it's like,
was he playing on an old Game Boy?
That's the equivalent.
But maybe
of it, right?
Like, the whole town like laughed after Donahoe drove off. They all laughed.
He bought one of those.
The joke was on Donahoe.
I don't know. There's something about it. The back, the text that they have describing the town, it seemed pretty sincere.
Yeah,
I think it's so. Sincere.
There might be listeners from Patterson right now. If there are,
Patterson's the population 6, dude.
You never know.
There probably isn't a listener.
I was at this Ziff Summit yesterday up in Napa, and we were at this bogus fake castle, and they served us wine, and the wine guy recognized me, the wine server.
Whoa,
really? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though you're not the dean?
No, I wasn't the dean. Yeah, but he did ask if I wrote for EGM. That was close enough. Close enough.
You'll take it.
That was nice.
There was
I took it.
You do write for EGM now.
I do.
Yeah. That was a rap. He's like, dude, I know you. And you're like, oh, yeah, cool. And he's like, you're not going to break up the Fantastic Four, are you?
What are you saying?
Sorry. He thought you were Richard Reed or something, or whoever that other guy is. That like,
no, they think
player.
I'm Nick Furry. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jeff looks more like Scott Bakula.
I get that too sometimes. Yeah, that beats Herman Munster because that's like, that's the other one I get. A guy said that to me on email, and I was like, "Gee, thanks a lot." And he's like, "What?" Yeah. What do you mean, compared me to like some like 60-year-old monster.
Didn't he have like a round face?
Yeah, he did.
And like,
Walter Matthau's the other one I got one time.
Oh my god, dude.
Thanks.
Jack Lemmon. Random ass old people.
Move on from who I look like.
Are we going to put a picture of this? Is it the pack, the battery pack?
Yeah,
or battery the pack?
Let's put that on the blog.
Oh, I wish we'd worked it into this interpretive dance movie thing.
Yeah.
Is it the pack or the battery pack?
The battery pack. The battery word battery kind of disappears from the font.
See, yeah, I thought it was battery the pack.
You know what hasn't gotten enough like shit is our like Xbox 360 faceplates. Remember when that was like this advertised aspect of the platform when it came out?
Faux wood.
It's exactly
finish.
All it's there for is so that like Mad Catz and Nyko or whatever can recycle some more of their like Aquafina bottles. It's that something you could pay for.
That and so that they can give you like an excuse to pre-order a bunch of games. It's like the add-on
it is
for
a pre-order
every pre-order.
Pack-in, yeah.
Well, you laugh, but Dan Shu, former editorial director, has a collection of them.
Does he?
On display.
I'm sure.
Is it a sincere collection? Like
it's a sincere collection, but this because we all work at a place where these things are falling from the sky.
Right.
So it's not like you have to work hard to have a collection of them.
Those things just happen though. Like I'm sure Jeff's daughter's got an equivalent where someone in the family gets a kid like a stuffed hippopotamus,
And then someone's like, oh, she's into stuffed hippopotamuses. Yeah. And then like 5 years later, they got this enormous collection of stuffed hippopotamuses. And you're like, so what is it you like about hippopotamuses?
That kind of happened to us. We had like, really like them.
You're right.
We had like little rubber pigs or something on our mirror in the bathroom. So all this pig shit started showing up.
I hope not like literally.
No. Okay. That was different.
Sean and Keith like pig shit.
That day was bad.
Send him a box.
It's like, here's a pig puppet. You like pigs, right? Like, not really.
Chris is that way with manatees.
Oh. Well, my ex-girlfriend was, and I had manatee shit hanging up, and once we broke up and she moved out, I just kind of left it hanging up, and I just kind of forgot about it, because it's on your walls, and you don't really think about it. And then, you know, I started seeing other people, and now I have another new girlfriend, and she's like, finally, she's asked me, like, what's with all these manatees everywhere? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess.
Sailors used to make something up there.
Sailors used to think they were mermaids.
I'm Mr. Manatee. It's like your secret hero, I didn't
know. You have a Weiland paintings up?
Yeah, I think we probably did at one point or another.
You did.
Yeah, you should.
Anyways.
Enough about that.
Yeah.
But also, like, your version was, like, you know, pirates for some time, but I think now it's just. It's just the trash can. It's like if you have anything you don't want or that you think would like make your office or your home like noticeably less cool or comfortable.
It's all for irony's sake at this point. If it's from the Walgreens Seasonal aisle, I have a home for it.
Were you the one who put the Britney frog in the office? Because it magically showed up one morning.
It was probably Sean.
Oh, it was Sean.
Yeah,
I did because Chris put it in my office. Chris, because I'm the opposite.
Yeah, because Sean's got like, he has a loving collection of like really high-end dolls and airplanes. So when I was cleaning my office, I took all this shit, like all this cheesy shit, and put it in next to all of his whatever you got.
Pictures of bats from eating National Geographic and like all over. And
you hung
like a sea cucumber thing off, a rubber sea cucumber off my light. Mm-hmm. I was horrified. But it's like every day I come in, someone put a fucking snot rag that they'd blown their nose in, like right by my keyboard.
Well,
was that you?
Right.
No, that wasn't me.
That's
that would piss me off.
Yeah.
I had to get like a.
What do you mean? That's like a dirty Kleenex.
A pen, yeah. I had to get like a pen and like scoot it off my table into the trash.
Yeah, excretions are not allowed.
I think this is like your second life behavior coming back to haunt you. Somebody you like. Yeah.
I still have this
snot
thing
of the Minotaur.
Where like, because I moved, you know, I moved from my old cube, you know, across the way, and like I'll come back and it's just, you know, a habit, and I'll go to sit down in my old place and I'll see it now, and I'll be like, oh shit! Like I'll have this immediate like nervous reaction of like, what the fuck happened here? Because someone else moved in there and it's a big shitty mess. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that's not okay.
I really liked it at Robert Coffey's old cube, and this is a long time ago because he went from a cube then to an office. So years ago when he got this cubicle that's right outside of my office, Robert had some interesting and strange hobbies and obsessions, and one of them was he had this collection of serial killer playing cards. And at one point he put them up, you know, on the window all around his cube wall, and which is great because, you know, he's a great guy, but he's, you know, he's intense and he's kind of scary and intimidating. And I remember when he first put him up, you know, the HR person actually came to me and it's like, do we need to worry about that? It's like, it's really okay. He's not, I don't think he worships these serial killers, and maybe he does, but I don't think he's going to actually act out. So you're safe. But anyway,
those things are still,
but
up.
He, that's what I was getting
they're
to. That
he's, of the copy
he left. Yeah. He left Ziff Davis a long time ago. And every other person who's ever worked in there has never taken the serial killer cards down.
I was in that one.
Yeah. There were Sean's,
Ryan
and there were Ryan's.
And now the copy chief, the head of the copy desk is sitting there, and he's like the most mild mannered guy. You know, I've been wanting to ask him, like, do you even know that these are there? Like anybody who came to the office now would just assume they were his. Like, man, what's with your copy chief?
He is a quiet, normal guy, and it's always the normal, quiet guys.
Oh, you're right.
That do it, so.
Maybe he's the one who's like, yeah.
To me, it felt like that surface that they were on was not my property. It felt more communal.
Fuck that. I tore all that shit down that was on the outside of my cube.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of stuff, too. Star Wars posters and stuff. I tore it right the hell down.
Why you a hater?
Serial killer cards are kind of cool, so I left them there.
I have a frame, though. I do now have the frame picture screen cap from Kung Fu for Nintendo of when in that game when the enemies went, like, it was called Kung Fu. It was kind of a misnomer because they would just grab you, but then they would grab you, and then if one of them was already grabbing you, they'd grab the guy who was grabbing you. So the trick was you get like six of them deep going.
And then you hit print screen and put it in a picture frame.
I made that thing for you like 5 years ago.
I know. I remember I told you, you're like, what the fuck? It's like, Ryan, you were still an intern. I'm like, I need a screenshot.
Okay.
But that was like good. I remember we
now played. It's in a picture frame.
That was Kung Fu, man.
Can I get one? That sounds cool. Should open a kiosk in the mall. It's all those things.
Good idea.
Once again, we've arrived at a point. I don't know how we got here.
I don't even
went down some bizarre road.
What don't look back, Jeff.
Huh?
Come.
It's a WoW shirt. It's a WoW shirt. It's a World of Warcraft shirt.
Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Good. It's a small camp in the Barrens.
Yeah, see, Sean knows the exact zone
they
location.
They pulled it off because it looks like it is an old, you know, like
camp shirt.
A thrift store shirt from, someone actually attended that
No,
camp.
This is like one of the WoW shirts I don't mind wearing of the 12 WoW shirts I wear.
That you don't
this
mind
is one I can wear in public and most people don't think it's like a gaming shirt.
They need, like, a fake, like, 12K
Do they ever ask what welcome to
run.
Kodo Country means?
Yeah, usually it's, like, one of my aunts who sees a shirt, and it's like, oh, you went to camp? Where's that camp at? I never heard of that one.
Azeroth.
Is that, like, your daughter's music camp?
Do the one with the 12K corpse run and make her think that you're, like, athletic and that you're out. And
yeah, they all have to do is look at me. I'm not athletic.
Mount Sack. Well, you can be, you're out running.
Yeah, whatever. Let's move on. What else? Do we have anything else this week? Oh, I was going to tell you one more thing, Sean. One more random thing, which is at this summit I was at, they had different people speaking from the game industry. Don't look like I'm going to tell a great story because it's not. You're like, looking all excited. There was this one moment where this executive woman was just talking about, you know, virtual worlds or whatever, and she talked about, you know, how even she has a character in a virtual world called Second Life. And then, you know, there was big PowerPoint screen came up and she said, and here's my character. And she just showed her character in Second Life. No, but I was sitting next to Damian Lin, the executive producer of game videos. And I just said, man, this screenshot so needs more Sean Elliott. You know, you just look at this woman and she would like put herself in like in a business suit on the sidewalk with other business looking people.
So
and it's so needed like flying penises behind her.
Or my character just standing beside it. That's why it was so, see, because people treat their character so seriously. That was the thing.
Was her talk was like, and now Second Life is a place where business people can go and meet. And that exact moment was like, no, we need Sean's troops to come in right now.
Hey, fuck you, lady.
We don't even need to say anything. You just walk in.
Meeting's adjourned. What's a better barbarian game, Age of Conan or Second Life?
To be honest, I think you could probably have a lot more fun in Second Life.
To be honest, I had a lot more fun in the hours I spent with Second
Life.
Yes,
but that was Conan. Your emergent gameplay.
In right. Conan, you'd probably have to grind for like 6 weeks to get like 7 dicks to hang off your face. You take that shit up for free. You take that shit up for free.
I'd ask Phil to use that character in your marketing materials.
That was Anthony's character. It was some Clyde Barker out. Yeah,
I just bought a ton of dicks.
Buy, you got him out of the freebie box.
Oh, yeah, and I attached him to every attachable point. I looked like a penis Cthulhu.
It's so rad that you'll be in the mall. It'll be kind of like, it's kind of like smoking. You don't want your patients, you know, in scare quotes, smoking in your shop. So, like, we were in, like, the dick mall, and we're, like, buying them. And we'd hang them on our face, and they'd be like, you got to take that off. Or then they'd. The mall cops would kick us out. It was like you could buy the dick. It's like what, like weed rules. You could buy it there. You could sell it, but you just can't wear it.
That's reasonable.
Funcom might add this quest chain now. They're going to hear it, and we got to add this. We'll show him. He said we were going to have to grind 7? For 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't.
8 dicks. See, if Second Life had like a good, if it had PvP. Then it would, seriously, it would be incredible because you wouldn't just have the limit of your you know, your social experimentation couldn't just be who are we going to gank, you know,
right?
Or like how are we, what alliances are we going to form, and then also intra alliance like issues about like, you know, who's going to be the leader and this and that. But I mean, then you have like the stuff with real estate, with property, all that, just regular socialization that's not, you know, fighting. But then when that opportunity's there. Yeah. To do something more than bowl Rory and knock a bunch of people over.
Right, but I mean, at the same time, then people would, like, have a way to kick us out or
They already
harm
do.
Us. Well, but most of the time when we'd get in there because we were moonlighting and there wouldn't be a mod or something and we'd just be able to like hang out and there would be nothing they could do about it. That was so. That's what made it so great.
Those are hard
you
to seize find,
the
though.
Day.
So the same person was actually theorizing that in the future at some point that that is what the web itself was going to be. The web was eventually going to be, you know, a virtual world, kind of, you know, the old William Gibson Neuromancer thing where you're actually in this walking around in this other world. This
like
was her
home for PlayStation 3
like,
or something.
Like, like
Dave,
home.
Dave Chappelle had a skit that pretty much
so.
Like proved why
so.
That. Did you ever see that one?
No.
It was just like he was in the internet and it was like he's like walking through this busy mall and there's like a million dudes running up in his face like trying to like get him to check out pictures of like Britney Spears' pootie tang and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't think people want to mess with all that horse shit just to look something
yeah.
up.
Right. I think that's right.
Yeah, why do you need an avatar? Like, why do you need a simulation of a simulation
yeah, I gotta
in order
walk.
To interact with the simulation?
I'm going to walk to the library to look up this Wikipedia knowledge now.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
I was going to look up this article, but I'm still waiting for the bus to get to the Wikipedia site.
You should have said
fuck!
That. Wasn't that on a panel?
If
you would have put your BlackBerry down for a minute.
Yeah. What you should have said was...
Yeah. I don't have one of those evil things yet.
Yet. You will. Everyone
you've been
will
on
be
panels,
to
though,
those.
Where people have been using those entire time.
Yes, I have been. Yep. I saw one on a panel today who was using one of those goddamn things, sitting on a panel using it.
Yeah. While on the panel?
While on the panel, yeah.
Such a class.
Sweet. Yep. Hi, focus. You're here for an hour. Put the goddamn toy down. That's all I'm saying.
Thought you were talking to me for a second.
No. Random
prank. Put the battery pack.
I know it's been an
put
hour.
Battery the pack down.
Battery the pack.
Felt like a teacher and your students are playing PictoChat or whatever it is.
So that's got to be tough
called.
To be a teacher these days with all that. All those gadgets.
Yeah. There's so many
those
ways
secret
to
gadgets.
Text. And
I wouldn't you just have to, I mean, I feel like if I was a teacher, I'd just be
just
like.
Give up?
No, I'd just be, no. You can't bring them in. There's no cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
None of that. No Game Boys, whatever. I'd have to be a hard ass.
But then,
what if like, you have like the one kid whose mom was like, no, he has to have his cell phone on all the time because just in case there's an emergency.
Yeah, there are parents like that.
There's going to be one that ruins your whole scheme. And then like, how
I'd
come
say,
he can
I'll
have
keep
it, but
I'll keep
Janie
it on my
can.
Desk and if I see it flashing, then the kid can have it.
Well, you got this thought out.
It's sad, man. I don't know who would teach like below, you know, below the college level.
They are brave and valorous people to do.
Yep.
Yeah, they are.
No,
I mean, I just,
no, I'm not
like,
kidding.
It's incredible that they do that. I was just reading a story, though, the other day in the San Francisco Chronicle about, you know, just the shortage of teachers for those levels. And it's like it was a teacher writing it. It was, you know, it was an op-ed section. And it's like, God, you have a fight ahead of you. You're trying to make a case to get other qualified people to do this position, and then you know, and after all the training and everything too, it's like they start off at like $35,000
yeah,
a year.
It's criminal.
It's like
criminal what
with
teachers get paid for what they're doing.
Yeah,
that was like my like lame ass starting salary in like the game industry.
Yeah,
so yeah. Here. I mean, the fact that we're getting paid more to do this right here now mm-hmm. than teachers, there's just something
that's
really
something
wrong with that. I mean, I'm not giving any of my money to them or anything.
No, of course not.
The money I'm going to use to buy pot.
From Anthony? Do you guys sell peripherals, too?
What do you
battery
mean by,
the pack.
What do you mean by
everything that goes along with...
Nah, there's a shop down the street that does that.
Oh.
Mad Cat.
Conveniently located.
Does this yeah. do this? Does it just come in baked goods, or is it like, you know, do they actually have... Excellent.
We sell. You know. We make our own baked
really
goods.
Ryan,
we,
oh, really?
We make our own. Yeah, we make our own baked goods.
Dude, he's gonna like help you with loss theories, man.
We make our own alcohol tincture.
I'm not asking because I'm interested.
We
I'm
make
not,
our own.
This isn't a customer question.
We make
I'm
our
just
own olive oil cooked with pot.
Olive oil.
Mm-hmm. That you can use like olive oil to cook, but it's got a lot of THC in it. We make and then we also have smokable stuff.
It's ridiculous.
Everything
man.
You can think of.
Do you have, like, jerky smoked in pot?
No,
like,
no,
think
no.
about that, though. It's like, do you go and get aspirin butter? Or, like, you get aspirin shampoo? You know?
Honestly, man, if I could get aspirin in a shampoo, I could shampoo my hair and take care of my headache.
You apply directly
that's,
to the
yeah,
forehead.
That's a good idea. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a break.
Boy.
Let's take a break.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back with maybe a drug-free second half.
Yeah, right.
Or not.
And we're back.
You're never going to not be able to do it that way,
I can't not do it. I can't not do it.
It's wackier every time.
So, Sean Malloy, you saw Gothic 4?
Yes, I did. They being Dreamcatcher / Joe Wood, brought in way early build of Gothic 4. So it was one of those, like, so early you kind of wonder why they're bringing it out. It was mostly just to show off the new technology and say, look, it's not as broken as Gothic 3. And you're like, well, it's also way early, so
wait,
who knows?
That was their point?
Basically.
Look, it's not as broken as Gothic 3.
They wanted to tell us, hey, we got a new developer.
Man, that's quite a demo.
Yeah. It was so early, you're just like, okay, well, I don't know what to say about this because it's basically a guy running around with a sword but not really able to fight because the AI is not ready yet. And you're like, okay, that looks like a pretty good world. But the reason I wanted to bring it up
is
because they have a new developer. It's not Piranha Bytes anymore. They've been doing the Gothic series for a while. I wish I could remember the name, but it was some other developer because I guess they felt Piranha Bytes just screwed it up so bad.
But didn't Piranha Bytes create the whole...
Yes, they did. And so they've just passed it off to someone else.
That's
which
rough.
I think, you know, like the Gothic fan community in Germany.
It's Tomb Raider, right?
Yeah.
That happened with...
Core Design fucked it up.
And Crystal Dynamics. And they did a great job with Legend because that was way better than any of the...
Core was on a roll, though. They had a great ninja game. Lots of good... Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah.
Didn't they also make... What was that ridiculous, like...
Fighting Force?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
So anyway, new developer. It was way too early to discern whether that's a good thing or a bad thing in this, you know, 6 months in development tech demo. But because they were trying to cater to, you know, obviously a hardcore PC German audience and trying to sell this thing in America. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. What is that? Oh, it's like some
It's a USB thing. Bangle.
It's a USB cock ring.
It is. So
sorry,
Boo. So, okay, so they're so concerned concerned about, you know, America and Europe that there is a toggle in the options menu, and I don't know how they're going to present if they're going to present it this way later in the game's life, but there's a toggle for an American Czech or a European Czech color palette.
Really?
Which was one of the strangest things I've ever seen in a demo. I was like, really? A European color palette? And you're like, yeah, Europeans
were
like
they showing that
drabber and more. They specifically mentioned it. And I was just taken aback by it, and like they're down to that level.
That?
Well, I don't know. So, that's like something internally. Like maybe when they release the US version, you'll get the US color.
Oh, I see.
Which is brighter and more vibrant, and has, you know, glow effects and more lens flare-y kind of stuff. And then the European color palette is like drab and realistic, and, you know, earthier tones.
That's retarded.
I just like, wow. And they were just, you know, it was making the point being, hey, we understand that the Europeans want something different from Americans, and I'm like, the color palette?
That's like
really?
That's the equivalent of like the marketing dork telling us we need to use more yellow on our covers.
But it's even...
It kind of is.
It's odd, too, because that game is so...
But you
like,
already bought it at that point.
For their European audience in the first place.
Right.
And that they... I mean, is it more like... it's just... It's so weird. They're like, this is what's going to do it. If those North Americans know... That they can get some more shine
get some
on
color.
This.
The greens are greener. The whites are whiter.
But it's the same game engine.
No, it's a different game engine.
Oh, it is?
It kind of tore up.
No, I mean, it's the same game engine between
the European and American color palette.
Correct.
The difference is between Gothic 3 and 4.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. It's kind of
that is
like
very odd.
It was one of the weirdest options I've ever seen in a menu before.
Kind of fits in with Stalker, which, I mean, if you look at the palette on that, I mean, it's as dreary as... You can imagine, but rightfully so. I mean, it was basically just a recreation of the exclusion zone around Chernobyl, some of the stuff in the Pripyat. They brought that. I mentioned that they brought Clear Sky in, and it's under embargo, and I don't know, for like another week or so. But one thing I can say, though, that because it's not necessarily about the game, but just more about the studio, is that, you know, I asked the guy from GSC Game World, the developer, if Stalker ended up the way it was sort of just because it couldn't help but be that way, and that way is that it didn't really hold your hand, you know, and it didn't have it did if you wanted to find out where to go, you'd have to pull up a map and look on the map and find out where, you know, it wasn't telling you
good job, you did something, you know, you get an achievement point for it, or this is exactly what you were supposed to do. And also, you know, other things that I mentioned, that it would have areas where things would be happening, and they'd have put a great, you know, an enormous amount of effort in building these really, you know, nice looking sections, but then they weren't like set pieces or anything. They were just there. Sometimes maybe there would just be one loner in them. And it was such a unique way of designing a game. And it really reminds me of, like, you know, PC game design back when in North America, when gaming wasn't for everyone in the world. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. What he said is that he was like, oh, of course, this was deliberate. And he's like, you know, Ukrainian gamers and German gamers and the people who we made this for are absolutely hardcore. And it's like, if you can build a computer in Ukraine or whatever that's going to play this game, you certainly don't need us to tell you when you start the game that moving the mouse up makes you look up and moving it down makes right. you move down. And then here's a train for you to crouch under to prove that you're capable of hitting C or shift or whatever the case may be. And the whole game was definitely that way. And then even, you know, it was even more interesting to hear him say that, like, yeah, we had to fight the publisher. You know, they had to fight THQ on a lot of things because, and you understand, it's not a right or a wrong here. It's just for, you know, taste, for the style of game you want to make. But because, again, it was like so weird. It's like that this game came out here in America, you know,
yeah.
being the way it is. It just seems like a risk. So, I mean, it was interesting to hear that. And, of course, with, you know, so for Clear Sky, it's basically the same, you know, way of doing things. We're like, yeah, we're not going to, this is for hardcore gamers. And the other interesting thing about them is that they didn't make that much money. I mean, well, the game was profitable. I heard that the game was profitable also for the publisher. But it was largely because of the people who made it aren't, you know, they're not making giant salaries. They, despite the fact that they had been working on it, doing R&D on it for like 6 years, it was still easy to make a profit on publishing that game because they made so little. Now they're happy that they're making more. But mm-hmm. something interesting too. So
is that
this reminded me of in the current issue of Edge, or maybe it's not current. I don't know. We have a delay when magazines from UK arrive over here.
What's
it's Metal Gear Solid 4 and Edge. Okay. Edge is a magazine published in United Kingdom, a really really small circulation and a very strong, you know, industry focus. And there's just a fantastic column in the back of this issue by, I should have brought it down with me. I'm not going to have his name, but he's someone who works at EALA and did a guest column. And the whole, you know, thrust of his discussion is that, you know, used to be in PC games and just gaming in general, you'd have something like an Ultima or something, and you wouldn't know exactly what's going to happen if you walk through this marsh, if you end up going to get leg rot and your legs are going to fall off. You wouldn't know if every action is good or bad and what it did to you on a definite scale, a gray scale of, you know, absolute evil and you know, total ethical behavior or something. You wouldn't even know. I mean, you just have to figure things out, and that was part of the fun, you know, mm-hmm. seeing, you know, just who do you align with, where do you go for the missions and stuff, and then as opposed to now, I mean, we design games, in exact opposite fashion, and that's, of course, you know, all inclusivity, everyone's got to be able to do it, but you also need to remind people over and over again that they're doing good. You have to tell them, you know, like, this is what you were supposed to do. Like, hooray, you found the gold bar or something. And then on top of that, he didn't bring this up, but it just reminded me, there's this additional layer with achievement points where it's like, and even, you know, another extent of telling people, like, yes, you're doing good. You're mm-hmm. doing okay. This is the right thing. You're mm-hmm. going the right way. And then, and we've talked about it before, you know, with games like Perfect Dark literally have illuminated arrows on the floor telling you where to go. And he was just, you know, saying, like, I mean, what are we losing if this is the only way to make games, you know, and made a case for what does it tell you about the world when you play Ultima? And he made it, you know, he put together this really excellent, you know, summary of what he took from it is about, you know, about trusting and figuring things out and stuff. And as opposed to what are the games that they're making now telling you? And it's basically that, like, if you do everything we tell you to, we'll give you a pat on the back every time you've done something we tell you to, you know, and always always know that we're here to watch. Another thing it reminded me of, too, I'm thinking of is like especially achievement points. It's kind of like when, you know, you're at the swimming pool and you're like, look, mom, because you're going to, like, dive or jump in or something, and you absolutely have to have someone watch. And achievements is just that mom that everyone wants there to, like, look, I really did hit this guy with six grenades. Like, I really did find,
you know, 15 gold bars in Battlefield Bad Company.
Here you go. Here's your achievement.
Yeah.
Good work,
Sean. That's nice. That's nice, Sean.
Anyway, yeah, I'm reading.
So, I mean, I guess you could ask them, like, if we're all on the same page, I mean, what are our attitudes toward that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think I think that that's very true, that we're all, like, a lot more coddled now, right? And that we seem to need it. And it's funny because I was just joking about this with my daughter when she and I were playing Boom Blocks a few days ago on the Wii. And, you know, if you can get a gold, silver, or a bronze medal on all the different puzzles, and, you know, you can do these levels over to try to get a better score or whatever. But, you know, if you don't get even the bronze, you know, if you just kind of blow the thing. I was playing with her, and that's what happened. Like, basically, I was going to win nothing. And the thing comes up, and it says, great job. And it's like, no, it wasn't. Yeah. That was a shit job. Like, why did the game tell me that? And, I mean, I joked about it with her. She's only 14. It was like, man, you know, they just can't let you feel like you've, you know, it should really say, you loser. It should say something like that, right? I mean, that's what an old game would have done.
Say fail.
Or game over and take it to the title screen.
Give us more money.
You know? And certainly there are plenty of PC games or not just PC games, console games too, where, yeah, you make one wrong move and it's just game over and you're dead, you know, and then you had to figure out, okay, I guess I shouldn't have done that. Certainly tutorials are another thing. I mean, when I replayed Fallout a few months ago, that was the thing that most struck me in the opening game, which was that you create your character and they put you in the world and good luck. You know, you got to figure out this game now, and it's hard right from the start. I mean, all you're doing is killing rats, but you got to figure out how to kill the rat. You know, they don't like, now you're going to press this.
It's hard.
This
2600.
I was
you
about
to figure out that it is a rat.
This totally reminded me of Ryan and I were on Retronauts the other day. We were discussing old Indiana Jones games. One of the first ones was Raiders of the Lost Ark
on the Atari.
Atari 2600.
Yeah.
Which was made by the same guy who made the E.T. version. If you played, I mean,
I really liked the Raiders game for the
So did I.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I don't know. I was much younger, so my head space is a little different. But at the time, it was absolutely incomprehensible.
Right.
And that kind of was the challenge, was to figure out
because it had a,
what does all this abstraction meant and trying to put it together. And then when you finally got the arc, you're like, wow, I figured out this, like, intensely bizarre cryptic puzzle that this person
entirely,
put together.
Yeah, like an entirely non-verbal form of reasoning that you had to have mastered, but there's never any direct articulation of what it is that you were doing. It's like you just did, you know, like sometimes you're working on a project or you're trying to fix a computer. I'm sure we've all got some example, and you end up doing it, but you're at an entire loss for words of like how you did it or what led you to do one, you know,
right,
one thing after another. And I mean, it's like that when I play those games too, you know, like Superman was the same way. It's like there's bridge parts, like what am I doing, what's going on, and Raiders of the Lost Ark, yeah, you know, there was the level of course of what anything even represented on the screen. Is that a snake, is that a whip,
right?
Is that, and then, but then when you do figure out what things are supposed to represent, it's still the logic of what they're doing there. It wasn't It was really weird. I mean, it's like that game was almost like an IQ test or something, you know, some odd way.
Same with E.T., I mean.
Yeah, except E.T. wasn't fun. I mean, it was basically falling into halls over and over.
But it still had that element of abstraction
that
you get out of the halls.
Yeah, it would never pop. And it's funny because now in games where it's so self-explanatory because of the fidelity of the graphics and everything, that like maybe there's a closed door in front of you, open the door, and it will tell you to open the door by pressing this button. But E.T. was never like, that's an alien and he's in a pit, you can levitate out of the pit by pressing this button. It would be like, there's a block and this is a black space and he seems to wiggle around when I wiggle the stick, you know.
Well, I mean, nothing that was also abstract, and even if you go as far back as Mattel football, like nothing's more abstract than that.
Yeah, just dots
on a glowing field. And but I think, you know, all games through the years, you know, you go back to side scrollers, that's, you don't have any less control over your destiny in a side scroller. You just go right, kill the enemies, you go right. But then some games that occasionally have a door and you can go in on a door and, you know, you might, you know, like Bionic Commando or something like that. You want a door and you might see something new or read some text you didn't read. And I think games like that, there's games like that too now that they're essentially still a side-scroller. You're going down a corridor, you're shooting the enemies and doing what they want you to do. But other games, you know, might have some more doors to go off and explore. I don't know. And if you look at games like Bioshock, that game actually made fun of the whole kind of hold your hand like you're doing what we expect to do through the whole game with the whole like would you kindly thing. It was like a big joke about that was the in joke in the game.
The catch.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people hate these games, but even like Riven and Myst, to another extent, are fall into that category where you're just kind of dumped into this world, and they're like, okay, you walk over there. There's a bird up there. Maybe that means something. You know, there's seven levers. There's a dial, and this thing's flashing green.
Yeah.
Go. And you're just like, And to me, people hate it, but at the time, I loved that. I loved trying to just
I love those games, but I thought that those first two Myst games, but they were really fucking hard.
Right.
They really were. I don't, you know, people don't really talk about it now as being hard, more sort of like, you know, the kind of thing that led to the, like, horrendous pile of shit of, you know, CD adventure games that begat, you know. But those original games were incredibly hard. I mean, especially to me, it was like you pull the lever on the crank and it like it turns something on the other side of the island. Like you couldn't even see the result
of what you did.
Like, well, okay, I guess I did something.
Right, and a modern Myst would go, they would have like the voice in your wristwatch go,
exactly.
You should check out the other side of the island.
Totally.
You'd see a cutscene.
That's exactly
of it too,
right. Yeah, you'd see the thing move. Yeah.
You had to like, you had to remember like
then
the next time you were there at that side of the island that, oh, this rock is on the other side of the screen now. Whoa, when did that happen?
You have your cute little sidekick going, you know, hey, I think you should check out the other side of the island now.
Maybe this means something.
Yeah.
Stuff that, like, just games being, like, just more difficult in the sense that enemies kill you faster or harder to kill. Like, I mean, I'm not going to defend that, but the difference would be, like, in just, I mean, when it was good enough to say, like, let's, and this is what was cool about Stalker, you know, is, like, let's just being in this world and fighting for your life and figuring out what's happening to this world or why it is the way it is and what you need to do next should be interesting enough to keep you going. Mm-hmm. But then with, like, I don't want to just pick on EA because everyone does it, but EA, you could tell that it's become some internally mandated, you know, like, design principle for all of their studios that you have to take and try to let people know, oh, this is where you're having fun, instead of just counting on it to be fun in the first place. And I don't want to say this for, like, I mean, I haven't played Spore, I don't know what's going to be that, but I'm thinking about a lot of their shooters, you know. So for Medal of Honor Airborne, for example, you'd say, hey, a lot, it's going to be exciting for people to jump out of a C-47, pull up a ripcord, and then parachute somewhere in the middle of a firefight. But then they got to go, no, we got to let people know that this is a game and make it fun. So then we're going to have five highlighted areas, and you get bonus points if you land on them. And if you land on them, a medal will appear on the screen and tell you, great job. One of the elements in, you know, Bad Company, of course, is that as you're going through the battlefield, you're supposed to go and find, you know, find gold bars everywhere. And so it's like surviving the battle. I don't know. Some people like that, but we got to, like, really make it fun. And we'll put a big, hooray, you found the gold bar, or, you know, and then, like, again, I mean, it just
find the
seems,
musical notes.
Yeah. And it just, you know, and then even in Airborne, again, there's the whole thing where if you get enough headshots, you know, then you unlock something and it pauses the game and throws the big thing on there. And it's like, I see, I guess, and clearly they wouldn't be doing that if it didn't work. So for, I would say that for a majority of people that are playing the games, that must really be really important for them.
Well, yeah, it's hard because you've got people like us who have been gaming for forever and were kind of weaned on and enjoyed and kept playing these really non-handholding games, but now there's so many more gamers,
right?
Theoretically, spending
I know
that obviously something did that to make the audience so much bigger, and maybe it is.
And people saw. I mean,
whatever.
When you look at, like, why, you know, World of Warcraft, why that's so popular, achievement points. I mean, all these things that, like, people are always talking about. It's like it seems like they're all some variation on that.
Right.
Same
we did
thing,
make this
you know?
Point about EverQuest earlier, and we've made this point on this podcast before, but it definitely speaks to the same argument here that WoW became the kind of hand-holding version of the MMO. You know, WoW became the one where, like, the second you log in, right in front of you, there's a dude with a yellow exclamation point staring right at you. You immediately have something to do. I mean, in the old MMO world, you created your character and you were in that world, and good luck to you to figure out what the fuck you're supposed to do in there. And there might be quests, but there might not be. You know, and if the guy has a quest, you're not going to know just by looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through some arcane dialogue, and then eventually he might say something.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay was for you to figure out. And, you know, I think maybe a lot of it was because the gamers, mean, the developers and the gamers, and essentially we were all the same. We were all the same audience of people, right? We were like, they were making them for us, but we, you know, the demographic was much smaller, I think, in terms of the type of people who were playing these games. And we all agreed upon this kind of accepted language and this accepted gameplay. We're all sort of like signing the same contract that this is the kind of experience we're going to have. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be this level of difficulty.
It comes down to the sales, too. I mean, it's like if you're going to invest that much money to make a game nowadays, you have to be reasonably certain that you're going to have so many people buy the game. And a lot of people buy the game because they're reasonably certain that they're not going to be stuck and unable to figure out what to do next. Mm-hmm. But so it is different. I mean, I was, as you're talking, I was also thinking back of, like, you know, in addition to like the big, you know, sea change in MMO design, but games like that are often listed among people's all-time favorites, like Out of This World and Flashback. And then even games that aren't on anyone's favorite list, but like the Kingsfield series of first-person sort of like RPGs on PS2. I remember playing those all the way to the end. And the thing about all those games is that they were entirely nonverbal. Like, no one would talk to you or tell you anything, at least in any recognizable language. And then if they would, it would be just strictly the characters in it. There would never be anything breaking that wall and saying, like, good job, this is where you should go next. And then half the time what would happen is as I would play it, and the further and further you got along, you would look back on all this, just this memory would be the only way to process everything you've done in a series of, you know, actions that you performed. And you look, and I don't know, it would be just really immersive. I'd feel like, shit, how I'm all the way here now? This is a crazy place. Like, and same thing with, you know, as you get through some of the levels and Out of This World, you're like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. But then you figure it out. You're like, oh, I think this happened. And it's kind of cool to actually stop and think about what went on for a moment in the game, other than, well, you got the gold bar, that's what happened. I mean, you need to go get 16 more of them.
I don't want to sound like too snobby either, like, you know, it was better back in the day when things were tough.
We need more ETs.
Yeah, I mean, because like we also said, like, I agree with Ryan, I wouldn't want to go back to the EverQuest days. Like, yeah, you did have to figure it out, and yeah, Ryan's, there was some satisfaction in that.
You look
but
at something like I think EverQuest 1 is just bad game design.
Right.
And it's like that genre just hadn't matured to the point where it was.
Right. It wasn't, you know, that they decided they were going to make it.
I think they accidentally stumbled upon something intriguing within that bad game design, though. I think there were.
And then, I mean, you look at, like, point of comparison, a game like the old NES Ninja Gaiden games. You know, those were good games. They were really hard, but not like the stupid Xbox one.
It's definitely not a, like, I mean, and I agree with even the original writer of the column in that it's like it's not a either or.
Right.
I mean, it's certainly like both, but I mean, because we can take for granted that we're going to have the accessible games that are patting you on the back every time you do something that they tell you to do. Mm-hmm. It's more for, I think it's okay to get nostalgic about the other type because it is a dying breed. And there are relatively, you know, few of them. I definitely felt, I feel like I reacted to Oblivion that way, and that's one reason why I like that game so much. Among, you know, there's all the people that, like, that game sucked. But, I mean, I definitely felt that from that game. And so, I mean, they're still there, you know. And, again, even in its design, like Portal, I mean, of course, there's stuff to help you through. And you have a narrator, albeit an unreliable one, helping you through. But it was still closer to that than. Mm-hmm. And it's playing with it. I mean, that's part of the what's going on here. I'm trying to talk.
I know. Sorry, like, Sean. There's like, is there another show coming up? There's like people standing outside the window. There.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Review crew.
But finish your point, please.
I gotta remember it. Well, that's part of the point of that game, right? I mean, this cake is a lie thing. I mean, if you look, if the cake is the award notice you get on the screen for the gold bar, and you're playing that whole game for that, and you never get that, it's a game without that popping up, and then. That's a good thing.
Right, but that game was also good in that it didn't, like, I thought that game was rewarding in that, I mean, you really were rewarded for thinking through. They did not hold your hand through the puzzle solving in that game. You know, that
they did, but they did it in a really streamlining and inconspicuous way, and that was just that by the degree of difficulty with each puzzle and the way that they ordered them, they were giving you the tools even though they're not telling you. Now, remember what you did in this level because you're going to need to insert a version of that maneuver in 1-6 levels from now. But they, you know, non-verbally, they taught you how to do all that. And so they were coaching you. But it was just, again, it was.
But that's different. That's different than the flashing arrow coming up on the screen.
Yeah, and it's everything
and saying,
that
you know,
we're talking
about. Shoot the ball here.
Yeah. I mean, that's like every, that has like everything to do with like, even, you know, games should, it's not the point that a game should be opaque. I mean, that's bad too. I mean, some of those games, Castlevania 2, there would be certain things you would need to do that no one could ever make sense of.
Oh, yeah. Everyone talks about the kneeling down like, by the lake to get the tornado. Yeah.
It's like figuring out Lost, you know, it's the equivalent of figuring out what's up with Lost. And, but it's like, it's in between there, in between being like entirely ridiculous and you know, unsolvable. And then being so easy and that you're feeding someone the answers over and over again and then telling them good job for receiving the answers passively from
or
you.
Or Boom Blocks, good job when you've just failed. You know, actually, the opposite of a good job.
Maybe it was sarcastic. Yeah. Oh, good job.
Good job, hey. Jeff. Yeah.
That's like the video game version of like calorically challenged or something, you know?
Like, yeah. So we're not dumb. That's the point. Don't treat us like we're dumb.
Right. Except for the dumb
people.
Except for
the dumb people.
Treat them like they're dumb.
But make games for the people who aren't dumb.
It's again.
Amen.
And make a dumb series for dumb people.
If any developers are listening, I'm sure that they're like, well, you haven't participated in beta tests, or you haven't brought in a focus group and let them play your game and watch all of 99% of them get stuck on what we thought would be the most self-evident.
Well, even a little thing
circumstance,
like,
you know,
like BioShock's option in the menu to turn off flashing objects. Like little things like that
those
can make a difference.
Those are fantastic.
Okay, so, well, so we know
let's not forget about that. Yeah, because it was like just in that one game. Like that, seriously, that was an excellent flashing objects, hints, all that, just letting people tailor that end of the experience to their own. In addition, instead of just if you're killed in one shot or if you're killed in two shots.
Right. Okay. We're getting the all here. But I do want to say to developers, we know some developers listen to the show, and I'd be interested in hearing examples of like gameplay elements that you had that you that were tested, like Sean's talking about, that ended up being like your audience was too stupid and you had to take them out. Like if you have any good examples of that kind of thing where you thought there was something fine, but but the gamers were not smart enough for your game. Then write us in and tell us.
Cliffy B from Epic said, you know, when I talked to them for the Gears of War PC cover story, he was like, dude, people are stupid. You know, because when I was asking about the if the Y button was a solve puzzle button.
Talking about
you know, less obvious ways to handle that. And his response was, dude, people are pretty stupid.
There you go.
Okay, and that's the motto for this week's show.
And we'll see you next week.